The words of God given to us today are Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. It's Luke chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. Allow me to read the words. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of the things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Amen. Starting from this week, we will be looking at the Gospel of Luke. The Gospel of Luke and the Acts were recorded by Luke. One could say that the Acts is a sequel to the Gospel of Luke, and vice versa. Now we are hearing about Acts from our senior pastor, Yi Jae-chul. The Gospel of Luke explains how Apostle Peter, Apostle Paul, and many other apostles and Christians were able to live such faithful lives. And the reason that the Christians of early churches, which are featured in the chapters 2 and 3 of Revelation, such as the church of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, were able to live with hope in the midst of severe persecutions was because of Jesus Christ, who bled on the cross to give them eternal life. Gospel of Luke reveals well who this Jesus Christ is. In order to transform our lives with Acts, we must have an in-depth knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. We have to learn Him well. It is my hope that through our study of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus, whom we already know, will become engraved even more deeply in our hearts. And when we try to live a life as a Christian in the right way, the world always tries to trip us up with its values. What helps us not to give in to these values and to live a life as a Christian and a life that fits children of God is Jesus Christ, our Lord. As we look at the Gospel of Luke, in which Jesus Christ is the main character, I hope that the Lord, that our life and faith will mature more and more, and it will come to resemble our Jesus Christ. Today, let us look at who Luke was, who recorded the Gospel of Luke. In the Bible, there are four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Among them, the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, and the Gospel of Mark are called synoptic Gospels because they are said to portray Jesus from a similar perspective. About 45% of what is in the Gospel of Matthew are also found in the Gospel of Mark and the Gospel of Luke. And about 10% of what is in the Gospel of Matthew is also found in Gospel of Mark, and another 20% is also found in the Gospel of Luke. Therefore, about 80% of what is in the Gospel of Mark are found in other Gospels, and only 20% of it is found in the Gospel of Matthew only. Among what is written in the Gospel of Mark, about 97% of them are also found in other Gospels, and only 3% is found in the Gospel of Mark alone. As for the Gospel of Luke, 65% of its content is found in other Gospels, and only 35% is unique to the Gospel of Luke. To put it more simply, if one does not read the Gospel of Mark and only read other Gospels, one would know almost all of what is in the Gospel of Mark. And if one were not to read the Gospel of Matthew and read all other Gospels, one would know 80% of what is in the Gospel of Matthew. And if one were to not read the Gospel of Luke and read all the other Gospels, one would know 65% of what is in the Gospel of Luke. On the other hand, only 8% of what is in the Gospel of John is in the other Gospels. And the rest of 92% is found in the Gospel of John only. And therefore, the Gospel of John is not included in the Synoptic Gospel, but is called the Fourth Gospel. The emphasis of each Gospel is slightly different from the others. The Gospel of Matthew emphasizes Jesus, who came as the King of the Jews. Therefore, the Gospel of Matthew starts with a genealogy by declaring the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. In Korean Bible, it is said, the Son of Abraham and David. But in the Hellenic Bible and all other foreign language Bibles, it all says, the Son of David and Abraham. This is to stress the point that Jesus is the son of a king, as well as the fact that he came as the king of the kingdom of God. And since what the king says is the law, there are many sayings of Jesus in the Gospel of Matthew, and they are very well organized. A good example of this is the Sermon on the Mount found in chapter 5 to chapter 7 of the book of Matthew, the parables of the kingdom found in chapter 13, and the sayings about the end of the world found in chapters 24 to 25. The Gospel of Mark, on the other hand, emphasizes Jesus who came as a servant. A servant is not about somebody who speaks, but somebody who works. Therefore, the word immediately is found over 41 times in the Gospel of Mark. When you read the book of Mark, you get this sense of great urgency. We meet Jesus who is busy. We're doing one thing after another and moving from here to there. In the Gospels, altogether, 36 miracles are recorded, and among them, 19 are found in the book of Mark. The book of Matthew and the book of Luke tell us about the genealogy and birth of Jesus. And the book of John begins with the Lord who existed from the beginning, in words, becoming incarnate. But the book of Mark skips over all of that and begins with the public ministry of Jesus. The reason is that it's not necessary to go into the prior history of a servant. The Gospel of Luke emphasizes Jesus who became a man. And so there are many parts in Luke which deals with the human aspects of Jesus which are not found in other Gospels. The statement about how Jesus came to be loved by God and people as his wisdom and stature grew, and the story of young Jesus who went to the temple when he was 12 years old are only found in the book of Luke. And the story of how Jesus wept as seeing Jerusalem and how the sweat ran down his brow as blood as he prayed at Gethsemane are also only found in the Gospel of Luke. Therefore, if we read the Gospel of Luke with attention, we can meet Jesus, who is perfectly God and also perfectly man. The Gospel of John emphasized Jesus as a son of God. In other words, his godly nature. That he is a son of God means that Jesus is God. In our country, when we say father and son, there is a sense of hierarchy. But in the Bible, the expression conveys more of a sense of equality, of sameness. A son of a lion is a lion, and a son of a man is also a man. And so the Son of God is God. And this is what it is saying. Therefore, the Gospel of John begins with the introduction of Jesus, who existed in eternity from the beginning as the Word. And in the Gospel of John, there are many statements of Jesus that only can God declare, such as, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have light of life. I am the resurrection of the life and the life. Whoever believes in me, though he dies, yet shall he live. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. And I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. The verse 3 of today's text testifies as follows. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus. Luke says that he examined closely the things about Jesus in order to write an orderly account to Theophilus. Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke and Acts, the longest books in the Bible, but did not write one verse about himself. Some biblical scholars say that he's from Antioch or from Philadelphia, and some say that he is the Macedonian man who appears in the vision of Paul at Troas, who asked Paul to come to Macedonia and help us. But none of these are clear. And the only thing that we know about Luke through the Bible is that his profession was a doctor, that he was a co-worker with Paul, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke. Throughout all ages and regions, only a very few could be a medical doctor. And because of this, it was a job that assured that one would be financially well off. It is said that medicine improved dramatically between 6 BC and 2 AD compared to the prior times. And it is thought that the level of medicine practiced at the time of Luke was similar to the medical standards practiced at early 1800s. The Eastern and the Western medicines both have their own strong points. And one of the strengths of the Western medicine is healing through surgery. Now, in order to do surgery, anesthesiology is a must. But it was only 167 years ago, in 1847, that anesthetics were developed. And of course, before then, surgery was undertaken under conditions similar to being under the anesthetic drug. But publicly acknowledged anesthetic drug was developed by James Y. Simpson, a gynecologist and a professor of medicine at Edinburgh Medical College. The drug was used when Queen Victoria gave birth, and the Queen Victoria was so moved that the drug helped her to give birth with relatively less pain and gave knighthood to Simpson. Simpson was the first to receive the title as a Scottish doctor and became an honorary citizen of Edinburgh. At the time Luke lived, Rome already had an organization that oversaw medical practices, and new doctors were trained under supervising doctors and went through a training that was similar to what the interns receive these days. And a supervising doctor observed the treatments administered by new doctors very closely and severely reprimanded any mistakes. In some cases, doctors lost their license to practice medicine. So considering all of this, Luke probably received a lot more education than the other disciples. Because Luke was a doctor, there are many passages in the Gospel of Luke that deals with medical treatments. The healing of a woman who could not straighten her back due to an evil spirit for 18 years. The healing by Jesus of a person who was suffering from water filling up in the body. And the healing of the 10 leprosy patients. These are all only recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And when Jesus was taken away, after he prayed at the hill of Gethsemane, Peter took out a sword and cut off the ear of the servant of the high priest. And this event is recorded in all four of the Gospels. But the fact that Jesus healed his ear is recorded only in Luke. It's not the case that Luke recorded about Jesus' healing of sick people because he happened to be a doctor. The reason that Luke was able to record what is not recorded in the other Gospels is because he not only looked very carefully at what Jesus did, but also because he was warm-hearted. When the 12-year-old daughter of Jairus, the head of the synagogue, died, Jesus healed her. This story is recorded in all the four Gospels, but only Luke reveals that she was the only daughter of Jairus. There is a saying that if a parent dies, one buries the parent under hills, but when a child dies, one buries the child in the heart. Even if parents have many children, one of them leaves the world early, the parents bury the child in their heart. Because parents love every child of their own. But if one only has just a daughter, and the daughter dies early, there is probably no way to express the grief in words. Luke, by revealing that the daughter was an only child, tells us how desperate and great the grief that the child's parents must have felt. And when Jesus had gone up the mountain with Peter, James, and John and conversed with Moses and Elijah and came down again, he saw that the remaining disciples were having a hard time. A father had brought his son, who was possessed by an evil spirit, and asked them to heal him, but they could not. This story is also in all four of the Gospels, but only Luke reveals that he was an only child. The Bible does not tell us how Luke became a Christian. He joined the second mission journey of Apostle Paul in the middle of the journey and stayed with them until the end of Paul's life. After he joined Paul's mission team, he remained a faithful co-worker of Paul. When Paul was being sent off in a ship to Rome as a prisoner, Luke was on the ship with Aristarchus. At the time, not even a spouse could accompany a prisoner. The prisoner was only allowed to take up to two slaves who were to look after his needs. And Luke, in other words, had gone with Paul, going so far as to writing down his status as a slave. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 27, Apostle Paul testifies about the hardships he endured as follows. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes, minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from the rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. When you endure such unspeakable hardships, your body would probably become in tatters. And what was the reason that Apostle Paul was able to go all the way to complete his calling? Where did that strength come from? Would it have been because Apostle Paul had a body like RoboCop or the Terminator, so that his body was like that of a robot, so that no blow would do anything to him and he didn't have to eat anything or sleep? That he was good to go upon changing his batteries and he became 100% recovered? He probably couldn't maintain his health while he was working without Luke being with him. Luke was Apostle Paul's co-worker as well as his personal doctor. As we read the Bible, we come up on passages about the relationship between Apostle Paul and Luke that deeply moves us. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 to 11 testifies as follows. Do your best to come to me quickly, for Demas, because he loved this world, has deserted me and has gone to Thessalonica. Crescens has gone to Galatia, and Titus to Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Get Mark and bring him with you, because he's helpful to me in my ministry. There is an old saying that things must end well for all to be good. How things end is much more important than how they begin. Now, 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul wrote. After living in this prison for 6 months, he is put to death. Paul had run the way that he was called to with faithfulness. But for some reason, the end of his life seems a bit lonely. Paul is waiting for the judgment of Emperor Nero in a prison cell with the foreshadowing of death. Most of his co-workers in faith left him already, and the person who remained to the end as he was traveling the last bit of his life in that prison was Luke. Luke's faithfulness to the Lord probably gave Paul unspeakable comfort. If we were to go back to that time, to that situation, it's probably difficult for anyone to say that only Paul is important and Luke is not. In our homes, at work, schools, and in church, there is no such thing as an important part and parts that are not important. All of our roles, each of our roles, must come together to complete the work of God. At the time, the Jewish people had a very deep contempt for Gentiles, even to the extent of saying things like, God made Gentiles as woods to be burned in hell. And that God made the Gentiles look like human beings so that Jews won't be disgusted when using them as slaves. Luke was the only person who was not a Jewish person among those who recorded the Bible. Because of this, he paid a close attention to foreigners and those at the fringe, and women. So the Gospel of Luke is full of stories about Gentiles and tax collectors and sick people and criminals and women. The person who helped the man who was robbed on his way from Jerusalem to Jericho was a Samaritan. And the one out of 10 leprosy patients who came back to thank Jesus was also a Samaritan. And these two stories are only found in the Gospel of Luke. The Jewish people disliked Samaritans as much as they disliked the Gentiles. In chapter 15 of the Gospel of Luke, there are parables about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the story of younger son who left home. And among them, the story about the lost coin and the lost son are only found in the Gospel of Luke. And the story of Zacchaeus, which even children know well, is also only in Luke. Among the four Gospels, only the Gospel of Luke talks about the pregnancies of Mary and Elizabeth. The Gospel of Matthew also speaks about the virgin birth of Jesus, but the focus is not on Mary, but her husband Joseph. The story of the widow of Nain, the story of a woman who brought the perfume to Jesus, wet his feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair, and poured perfume on his feet. The story of Mary and Martha, all these stories only come out in the Gospel of Luke. The more we look at Luke, we come to appreciate his life more and more. Luke was not a disciple of Jesus and was not a Jewish person. There were many who took up the pen to record the life of Jesus, but the Lord selected what Luke wrote down to be included in the Holy Bible. Among the movies that Robin Williams, who recently died, was in, there are many that are heartwarming, and among them Dead Poets Society, Mrs. Doubtfire, and The Good Will Hunting. Among his movies, the movie that was most moving for me was a movie called Patch Adams. This movie is based on a true story about Hunter Adams. Patch grew up in an unhappy family and tried unsuccessfully to commit suicide. He voluntarily committed himself to a psychiatric hospital. Who helped him there? To make him get better was not doctors, but his fellow patients. The name Patch was a nickname given to him by his fellow patient, meaning a small piece of cloth that covers over a wound. 2 years after he left the hospital, Patch became a medical student. He tried to heal the hearts of patients, even by violating school regulations, which only allowed med students to see patients after their junior year, and was almost expelled from school for establishing a free clinic for the isolated and the poor with other med students by remodeling an old house on a mountain. The movie ends with the following caption. During the next 12 years, Patch Adams opened a home-based family medical practice and treated more than 15,000 people who could not afford to pay, who did not have insurance or formal facilities. He purchased 105 acres in West Virginia, it's about 13,000 pyeong, and constructed a is constructing a hospital called Gesundheit Hospital. To date, a waiting list of over 1,000 physicians have offered to leave their current practices and join in Patch's cause. The first doctor and medical missionary ever was Luke. Many Christian physicians try to take after Luke all over the world. Then Luke's name means to shine. But he did not live to shine his own name. But he lived to shine the Lord's name. But the Lord allowed Luke's name to shine. Jesus did not use Luke just because he was a doctor. When Luke personally met Jesus and devoted himself to the Lord, Jesus allowed him to go on missions and work with Apostle Paul and allowed him to write down such beautiful gospel. Because Luke had a lot of interest in the weak, the poor, and those at the fringe, we get to meet Jesus, who carried out his ministry in deeper and broader ways. There is an idiom saying, birds of the same feather flock together. And people say that you could tell what somebody's like by seeing his or her friends. But this does not apply to faith. A character of faith of a Christian is revealed by how often he or she is with vulnerable people. Because that's what Jesus did. Jesus did not turn away from people like Nicodemus, a member of the council, or the rich persons like Joseph, Arimathea, heads of synagogues or centurions. But more often, he embraced the sick, the disabled, tax collectors, and handicapped. The size of our faith is also proportionate to how we come to embrace more people more deeply. I pray that all of us will meet with a deeper and larger Jesus as we learn about the book of Luke. And I wish that we also will become another Luke who purifies and shines this era by looking closely into the words of our Lord, just like Luke did, by looking closely into what Jesus has said. Let us pray. Father God, Luke was not among the 12 disciples that Jesus had chosen, nor was he a Jewish person. And we do not know how he came to meet with Jesus personally and how he came to give up on living a comfortable life as a doctor to devote himself to the Lord. But allow us to live like Luke, who has lived his life as a professional, as a missionary, and as a person who lived sincerely by deeply studying the Lord's deeds and words. Let us do our best at home and our work, which you have allowed us. Make us the good workers of Christ and deeply fall in love with you, Lord. Lord, you have already told us that you are the light of the world. Help us to live as a light at each place where we happen to be, and lead us to live like Luke. Allow us to find you, Lord, through the book of Luke, which Luke has written with such great care, and lead us so that we may experience the grace and the sweetness that Luke felt. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.